Good luck.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lat Mackey, and this is Sequence Break, another bonus episode. And this one is from Games Done Classic, once again, the show that I host on the GDQ channel. And this was the very first episode I ever did. And it's a look back at the very first ever GDQ and how it came together. It's got some very familiar faces, you might notice. Mike Uyama, Andrew G, and Frezzy Man. And these were all participants that actually made this first GDQ happened. Some really interesting stories and behind the scenes tidbits and all this kind of stuff. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. I'm just showing a clip of it. If you'd like to watch the full episode, it's available on GDQ's YouTube page. Go check it out. We look through some really classic runs and some things that made that first GDQ happen. So it's a really fun conversation from a few months ago. I hope you enjoy. Here it is. With no further ado, I would like to welcome the man, the person who started this whole thing, Mike Uyama, and then runners. Mike actually had runs as well. He's a runner as well. But then also Andrew G and Frezzy Man, all different time zones. We're all here together in one space. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for being here and doing this. Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
Doing well.
Awesome. Okay, everyone's unmuted. This is great. We are ready to go. So before we get into some of the runs and watching some of the things that we're going to be watching today, I'd like to take us all back a little bit. And Mike, I'm going to ask you to set the stage a bit. And really, like, how did this idea of this charity speedrunning event even start? Where did this whole thing come about?
Well, back in 2009, there were basically two events, video game charity fundraising events, and they were Desert Bus for Hope and the Speed Gamers, who ironically were not speedrunners, but they would basically focus on a series and play through them and fundraise for charity that way. And we looked at both of these events and we're like, oh, we can do this. We want to do this. And so being speedrunners, we're like, we can do this better because we can do this fast. It turns out that it was a lot harder than we thought it was, and I definitely respect both groups for what they do. But that was kind of where the idea came from. And now while, speedrunning, marathons, raising money for charity, it's pretty common nowadays. Back then it was, in 2009, it was unheard of.
So I've had a chance to hang out and get to meet some of the people who made the first one even possible, the runners and the participants and the people behind the scenes. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, what was the speedrunning community like at the time? Like, were there leaderboards? How did you all know who was putting up what times for what game and things like that?
There were no leaderboards. Putting runs up on YouTube was not that common in 2009, even though YouTube was a thing in 2009. The majority of the speedrunning community was in Speed Demos Archive. And while not too many people use that site nowadays, it was basically the source for speedrunning back in 2009. Speedruns Live just had like three or so races in 2009. So speedrunning races wasn't really much of a thing back then. And speedrun.com just simply did not exist.
It's kind of amazing because I got a chance to talk with Frezzy Man about this. Frezzy Man, first off, I know you were running a ton of games back in those late aughts of the 2000s, but the process you mentioned of how you'd have to submit your run, first of all, tell us where you are in the world, and then how would you submit your speed runs back in those days?
So I am a Swede, so I live in Sweden, and when the 2D games were submitted, I think in about the first videos, probably 2004, the first years, it was very common that you were recording your run with a VHS tape or VCR tape in US. So my first run, I think it was Mega Man 3, 2005, and I recorded my first runs with the VHS tape. And I think I was one of the few or first European runners who was shipping one tape at the time to Nathan Yankee in Texas. So it was a post package, and I sent it there, and it was good enough to, like, how do you say, like, translate it into get things digital and into the site.
So capture it.
Yeah, just capture it. Andrew, I know, thankfully, we have a lot of your runs because you've recorded them. What made you even think about, like, recording one of your runs early on?
I've always liked the Super Mario Brothers games and Nintendo games in general. So, when I was 13, 14, I stumbled upon some speedruns and I thought, is it possible to record this? Like, how do you do that? And I just hooked up a VCR and it does work. Like, that's really easy. You just hook up a VCR to a TV and hit record. I eventually found my way to Speed Demos Archive after being on Twin Galaxies for a year or so. And I was like, oh, these guys are really cool. Like, this is a dedicated speedrun website. And it was cool to find that and be able to actually submit my run somewhere.
Mike, if you don't mind, tell us, when did you get involved with SDA, and was there any evolution? Like, how did the site go from, how did they change? How did they start accepting and doing the speedrunning thing as well?
So I got involved in 2004, which was the start of Speed Demos Archive, when they started accepting games outside of Quake. Because originally it was a Quake speedrunning site. And the reason why it was called, and the reason why it has demos in the name, is because of the demo files from Quake that they would use to, to record their records. Because, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, capture equipment was not common, and it was also expensive, and it was a lot more difficult to do than it is nowadays, where it's pretty easy to do and affordable.
Pretty cool. It's interesting because a lot of SDA still exists. The forms and you can actually start looking back through some of the history of all of this still today. It's kind of interesting.
That was one of the ways I did my research now, to just try to remember everything, all these forum topics is still there. So it's great to do some research.
Yeah. When I did my Classic Games Done Quick panel, I had to look at some of the original threads, and they were still there. They were a little difficult to find, but I did find them. And I was able to kind of remember some things that I said and see some things that I had said that I completely did not remember at all. And since you were asking about the evolution of the site of SDA, it's really just accepting more and more types of runs, and I guess being more flexible in rulings. Like, even though, a lot of the basic stuff of speedruns, the any percent, low percent, and 100%, that comes from, SDA. It's called RTA now, but it used to be called single segment when it came to, doing runs all in one session. And now with live streaming, that's kind of more expected because, it's not as entertaining, and it doesn't really flow as well to constantly be saving and loading one segment of a run when you're streaming nowadays, and it doesn't really work that well for a marathon either.
Well, this is fascinating. And one of the things that we are fortunate enough to have nowadays is this really easy communication platforms. We can share strategies. We can share videos. We can help each other out in a way that who would have thought, 10 or 15 or 20 years ago would have even been possible. Andrew, I'm going to throw this one over to you. I know you're primarily known for a lot of Mario games, but you were speedrunning a bunch of games before I even knew speedruns existed. Are these things that you were developing yourselves, or were you able to share any strats or anything with your runs with anybody else, or is this something you were doing on your own?
I mostly, as far as strategy goes, I mostly, like they were saying, use the Speed Demos Archive forums, and it's basically you would put up a run and you'd be speedrunning a game, and you'd just make a thread and be like, is anyone speedrun this?
I mean, this is kind of hard to think of nowadays, but because now the biggest community speedruns have hundreds or even thousand plus runners, but back in the days of SDA, if the game that you ran had more than one runner, then that was a pretty big game, because usually the speedrunning community was pretty small, and even popular games would only have maybe a couple of runners. So, Things were much smaller back then. And, you know, sometimes people be like, our community is tiny. We only have 5 active runners. I'm like, that's pretty good.
sometimes you can threads up and get no response too. And it just be like, okay, I guess I'll just figure this out myself.
I can add that it was a big frustration in some games that there was no run for it and no one was discussing any runs either. So I probably was one of the first, like, did a bounty on some games. So I think Andrew, did I actually ended up paying you for the werewolf run on NES?
Yeah. Freddy put up a werewolf, the last warrior for NES bounty for someone to do a speed run on it. And I just happened to see the game at a game store that I visited. And I was like, oh, like, I guess I'll try this. And I actually really ended up enjoying the game and ended up even doing a task of it eventually. It was just funny because it's like, oh, it's a bounty here. This is great.
It's making me chuckle too, from saying that you had to find a game at a game store, because, I mean, flashcards weren't a thing at this time, I'm assuming, in the mid 2000s.
No.
right.
If they existed, then they were not commonplace at all. And I don't think they existed back in the late 2000s or early 2010s.
So then I'm curious, Andrew and Frezzy and Mike, because you were speedrun at the same time, how would you practice? If you, you know, would you just have to play the game the whole way through, or is there another way to break the game and make it possible to actually
practice? It depended on the game, but I would frequently use an emulator to practice, and which didn't always translate 100% because, like, emulators back then weren't as accurate, so they wouldn't always, you know, correctly emulate, you know, the lag and stuff like that did help. If it was, you know, like a more modern game with like a saving system, then I would just, you know, practice the levels that way. But yeah, there was no like a flash cart practice and you know, with, you know, all their save states, you know all their conveniences that really help out for today's runs. And you know, practice ROMs definitely didn't exist back then. The practice ROM was just, you know, if you could emulate it, then great.
And one question there. You had like input lag in your controllers as well when you was practicing, right?
On emulator, probably. I didn't really pay that much attention to it.
Okay. For me, I hate using emulators just because of the input lag. I've never had a lot of luck with that. So for me, I always basically I would just take a game and be like, how do I get a lot of lives in this game? And then rack up a ton of lives and like go to certain segments and try to get good at certain parts. I did that with, I remember doing that with Mario too, because there was no way to really practice the later stages without just like pulling up a bunch of lives. That was basically the only thing I could think to do.
That's actually not a bad idea. I gotta love the 2005 strats where you had to just live up, get some continues, and go play that level a bunch of times. So that brings up another interesting point. As we're starting to move towards the first live event ever, how many different games were you all? I mean, would you all speedrun a bunch of different games, or do you have games that you were just kind of focusing on in the late 2000s? You know, around 2009, 2010 time. Mike, I'll start with you. Were you running a lot of games, or
2009? I think the only game that I think I ran like two games in 2009, and I think it was Sunset Riders and Contra 3.
Nice.
But when it came to classic games done quick, I can go into more detail later. I ran somewhere around like 10 games for it, and they were just games I had ran over throughout the years.
Got it. Okay. And then Frezzy?
It's the same year. I think I found the old schedule for the marathon, and I was attempting 16 runs for the marathon, I think. Was the plan.
I think you did 15 runs. 15. Yeah, you definitely did the most runs.
Yeah, and it's I was not only like running the games I had the record for, I was also doing some casual speed runs for some games. So maybe we'll come to that later, but when we were planning the marathon, like many players wanted to see like the popular games, and we didn't have any like the world record holder would not be there. So I said, hey, I can run that game in this time, and I can run this game in this time. And it ended up that they wanted to see Metroid and Mega Man 2 and other games. So yeah, it was what it was. Like my practice hours before the marathon was not that great in all the games, but yeah, a lot of games.
Andrew, I remember you pulled an all-nighter practicing all of your games like in a row or something like that. Like right.
Sorry, I lost you there. What did you say, Mike?
Oh, I remember you pulled an all-nighter, like practicing all of your games in a row. Classic games done quick.
Yeah.
Andrew, how about you?
I did a lot of runs also. I remember, it was kind of like, what games can people run? And, you know, other popular games that, you know, people are interested in. And I just remember doing like, F-Zero and what else did I even do? Marvel Madness. And anyway, I did a whole bunch of games, and I remember like I put in a lot of practice in these games, but for the marathon, not all of them went all that well, but it was a lot of fun.
So, Mike, if you wouldn't mind, as we're starting to move towards this very first event, to my understanding, there really hadn't been a place where speedrunners had gotten together, like in real life. That kind of thing hadn't happened. Am I mistaken, or could you at least set the scene a little bit for having an event like this?
You're mostly not mistaken. We had only met once before at MAGFest the year previous at the beginning of 2009. And that's why we originally wanted Classic Games Done Quick to be at MAGFest, because, you know, it was a fairly big convention, not as big as it is today, but it was still fairly big back then. We thought they would have the resources to help us and help us pull off an event. But yeah, for the most part, you're right. We've only had one meetup in person before then. It's not commonplace like they are nowadays, whether it's a GDQ or, you know, like other smaller events like Midwest Speed Fest and stuff and the like.
Absolutely. And I'm curious how you were able to contact or recruit runners. I'll first ask you, Mike, how you sent out the thing that this was happening. And then I'm curious about how Andrew and Frezzy possibly even heard about this thing to go do some speedruns at.
Well, you know, as mentioned before, you know, everything happened on Speed Demos Archive. So it was just all on the forums. Hmm. And I remember I just come back home from vacation, and like a lot of people wanted to do a charity event, but it was very like not focused, and people were just suggesting the games they could run, and like there was no consideration whether they wanted to be in person or like a remote or anything like that. So I decided it needed more focus, and I decided on Classic Games, you know, hence the name Classic Games Done Quick, mainly because I felt like that was our strong suit at the time. Like we had a lot of good like 8 and 16 bit runners, especially here in the States. So I figured that would be best for our focus. Hmm. And at the time I decided we should do it at MAGFest because, you know, as I said before, lots of resources we had met there before.
Makes sense. Andrew, I'll start with you. First of all, it sounds like you may have heard about this in the forums, but what made you decide to get involved?
Yeah. So yeah, I saw it on the forums. I saw a few different people suggesting some sort of marathon or meetup. And it seemed like a lot of fun. I mean, I watched all these guys speedruns, and I was like, this would be great to meet these people, you know, and share that hobby. And I was just like, I was really excited to meet everyone and to talk about games with people. And you know, the fact that it was like, oh, this is like for charity. Like, oh, that seems cool. I could do a little traveling, do this, and have some fun. And I never thought it would turn into what it is now.
No one did.
Yeah. But I talked to a lot of you guys, Freddie, Mike. I talked to a lot of people on the forums, and so it was cool to finally meet a lot of you guys live in person.
And then Fresumet, it kind of blows me away even more that you decided to fly over an ocean just to do a speed running event. How did you, what's kind of your story to get you there?
For some years, you are pretty much like living in the forum, or like you watch it too much for your own good and reading the news and all the threads, and you're so much into running these games, and you talk with like many other runners, and but you never see their faces. And I think like that the first MAGFest meetup we had, it was I didn't hesitate to come over like right away, like I'm going. So I think it was a lot of US runners, and it was me from Europe, if I recall correctly. So I just spent some time in Mike's basement, and we were practicing some games. We went to MAGFest, and we had a lot of fun there. And I can mention that as well. We had a showcase there for SDA for
like we showed
many runs on a big screen, I think. So it was just great to meet everyone and discuss these games more in depth, so to say. We had a lot in common. So it was a great time. And the second time when the marathon was showing up, it was like I couldn't go there. My wife was pregnant, and many things was going on in my life. But it felt like I can't miss this thing. So I think if I recall correctly, it was me from Europe, and it was Mike from Australia, and the rest was US runners.
No, there was also, I think his name is also Mike, Tigger 77. He's from Germany. So yeah, he was there for a classic game, Stone Quick. And yeah, he pulled off a really good length of running run. So
yeah.
There's a funny comment in the chat, because this is, I think this is very much reminiscent of the time. Remember watching those QuickTime videos? You would have to share QuickTime videos back and forth sometimes too, because I mean, YouTube started to be around then, but not much, you know, there wasn't a lot of YouTube at the time as well.
Like we were not about YouTube. Like when you mentioned VODs, that was just how it was expected. You downloaded the video directly from Speed Demo's archive. Like,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
YouTube, why would you use that? The quality isn't that great. And of course, like now YouTube quality is, you know, just fine. And, you know, it's like the expected way to watch a VOD now.
So before we get into watching the runs and going down the stroll down memory lane, if you will, Mike, would you mind setting the stage a little bit? There's this somewhat infamous story. And folks, if you haven't yet, there's this great panel from AGDQ, I believe, 2019, where they do this whole panel on the story of classic Games Done Quick, how it started. But where was the event originally scheduled? How did it end up where it did? Set the stage a little bit.
Okay, so to put things in perspective, like live streaming was not really common at all in 2009. In fact, Classic Games Done Quick was streamed on Ustream and not Twitch, because Twitch didn't exist. And what it was back then was Justin TV, which was frankly mostly known for like getting bootleg casts of like cartoons, like TV series and sports games.
Yeah, sports games. Yep. Definitely a lot
like,
of sports.
I know a lot of people who watch like, you know, NBA finals and like Super Bowls and Justin TV back in the day.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Never did that.
That never happened. So, the reason why I went with Ustream instead of Justin TV is that if you had over 1,000 viewers, and we thought this was going to be unlikely, but we knew we had a lot of people, you know, like in Europe who wanted to, you know, in our community. So if you had over 1,000 viewers, anyone from outside of the US after 1,000 viewers would start getting booted, because either their servers outside of the US were not very good, or they just didn't have servers outside of the US. So, so that's why we went with Ustream for our classic games done quick. And I think what Lat Mackey is alluding to is that, as I said before, the event was originally supposed to happen at MAGFest. Well, very long story short, and after some very stressful transitions, it ended up being in my mother's basement, because they did not have good internet at MAGFest. If you want to know what the internet was, imagine an entire hotel that was basically on DSL internet that had maybe like half a megabit of upload. It was really bad. So
that would take a long time to pass around that QuickTime video. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. So like when we started Classic Games Done Quick, and you're going to see this in some of the videos, we didn't have commentary set up at first because we had to transfer over all of our equipment to my house, and then we were already late because we didn't start until like 8 or 9 p.m. you know, and we're supposed to start at 6, so we started like 2.5, 3 hours late when we started.
Oh man. So then Andrew, let's start with you, as a runner or a participant in this event. First of all, how many runs were you like scheduled to run? And then what's it like showing up and then, oh, we're not where we're supposed to, what's going on? You know, what's it like going through all that?
Yeah, I was kind of, so I was supposed to run like, I don't know, 10, 11 games, something like that. And we started the stream at MAGFest. I was playing Mega Man, and I remember everyone's like, the video is just, it's just like still frames of jumping from like, itch, like Elec Man, now it's Fireman.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, we did get a stream up and running. It was a slideshow, and I think you were on Gutsman stage, and there are those platforms that go like this, except like it wasn't, you know, smooth screen. It was like,
Yeah, everyone just basically like, this isn't working. So so Mike, I think Mike suggested like, oh, we'll transfer it to his house. I was like, honestly, I was a little bit like I don't know, do I like, I don't really know, like, I know them, but I don't know them that well. Is this okay to do? Like, I'm fine with being here at like a marathon with everyone, but like to go to this guy's house, or, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I think it'll be all right. Like, I know all, you know, like,
and if you're wondering,
I know these people, like, at least online. Like, I don't know.
Some strangers' house.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're wondering why it was like specifically there, where MAGFest used to be, it was like a 10-minute drive or less away from my mother's house. So, it was not a long drive, even though it was very inconvenient because we had a bunch of people who were staying at the MAGFest hotel because they were expecting to just, you know, go down to the convention floor and run their game. So like, we basically had a bunch of people, including me, do a bunch of shuttle service.
Oh, man.
You know, back and forth from the hotel to make sure people could get there. And I remember, so the basement is not big, and the floor and the ceiling is pretty low. Like, it's about 6 feet tall. Like, I'm a little under 6 feet, and like, I just barely don't hit.
Andrew, did you fit in there?
I think it was. I remember being a little cramped, but it seemed okay. It worked out.
And I know someone who bumped their head a couple of times. But I remember there's this video that has a bunch of people. This is like from right around or right before the marathon was starting. And it was people, you know, saying that, like, you know, it was kind of like a doom and gloom video because it was not looking good for the marathon. And I remember Frezzy Man says, like, you can't have like 10 people be there in the basement at once. It's too small or something like that. And what ended up happening is that there were like 10 people in that room constantly, even though it was like packed.
Nice and cozy.
Yeah.
I think you could probably be 15 people down there, but it was difficult to have the stream going on and people all the time and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So Mike, during the panel for the Classic Games Done Quick, shared some videos, some people who were shooting video. And so you have some memories of the moment. Frezzy Man, every time you pop up in one of these videos, you got the smile on your face. You're pretty positive. Were you just rolling with it? Or was this, you just, you know, trying to get this thing going? It was really cool to see.
I think I am like that for most of the time. But also, for me, it was difficult to speak English all the time and actually like communicate. So I think it added up a little bit, like to try to have some showtime at least to like do something.
You know, that's actually a really good, were any of you streaming at this point? Have any of you ever streamed any of your speed runs? Andrew?
Not that new.
I streamed like once or twice before CGDQ, but I wouldn't have streamed unless if, you know, I knew this, you know, I was only streaming because I knew this event, what we were right. going to have it. And I remember I streamed from like a camcorder cause I didn't have a capture card.
And then Andrew, had you ever done commentary over one of your runs? I guess that's what I'm trying to get at.
I think the only thing I had ever streamed back then was Donkey Kong for arcade. Like just the main capture and yeah. commentating on it. But it wasn't very good either. It was just like, just awful. So this is kind of was like the first streaming experience, I guess, for me.
I also think that if I can throw in something here,
please. Like
most of the old runs from the SDA is still, you can still download them, most of them from archive.org. And some of the games for my, so for example, my Super Mario 3 run, I put a lot of effort to do audio commentaries for it. So if you actually download the file and you can choose both English and Swedish audio track to listen to while playing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I remember
back then, if we did commentary, we did it after the run, you know, because streaming wasn't really a thing. So right. like we weren't really used to talking while doing our runs. I would say people didn't really get used to that until about AGDQ 2012, actually more like 2013. Where it was really like expected to talk, and you can kind of see the difference like between these older GDQs up to 2013, where like people are getting more and more comfortable to talk while playing their game.
And also the commentators was more into it most of the time, like today, like the first time at Classic Games Done Quick, the like commentators, like I was the expert commentator for some games, but I wasn't really expert of the runs. So,
Andrew, you're going to say something? Yeah.
I was just going to say, I remember when they started putting a commentary on the Speed Demos Archive runs, and especially I remember Freddy's for Mario 3 and being like, oh, this is awesome. This is way cooler than like just the video, just having the video. Like back then, that was a big deal to me anyway, to see the commentary from the actual runners, the voice.
So,
And just to add another thing there, that for example, I was running these old run and gun games, and I was shooting quite fast compared to many other runners and so on. So for me also, that was very important to like be there and show that like, you can shoot this fast, and everyone, like the experienced runners there, could see it. Because I got a lot of comments about that many times.
I think for sure for the event, I think a lot of us were like, you know, we all got called cheaters all the time because people watch come on Speed Demos Archive and like these guys can't be legit, like whatever. So it was kind of cool to actually have the marathon where like all these people are really good gamers and we could actually show off our skills and everything. And people really responded well to it.
I shouldn't have been surprised by it, but one of the things, there were some videos that were uploaded around 2010, maybe within a year of the event actually happening. And you can see some of the comments still accusing you of, you know, nefarious things going on, even though you're obviously there live doing it. It's always a bit surprising, but it's great that there was this opportunity for y'all to show it that it actually happens for real. So we're going to, the first few runs we're going to look at here are Super Mario Brothers, the first one, Contra, and then SMB2. And before we get into the runs, Frezzy, I'll start with you. Was anybody else playing Contra? Were you the current world record holder? Tell us a little bit about the Contra scene before we jump into that one.
So I have to remember here, but it was a world record, for, was it Tom Montgomery, 11:25, I think, and then it got beaten by Crosstalk. No, no, I beat it with 10:55, and then Croctoc beat me with 10:50, and then I took it back to 10:40, and I think it, like, I got a lot of comments about the run, and I think it was fun game to play, so I pushed it harder. So I got I ended up after submitting several runs. I think I was down to 10:18 or 17 by SDA timing.
I think 17.
So, at that point, this was like 1 year before maybe the event or something.
Oh, wow. Thanks everyone for listening, watching, viewing, liking, subscribing, and sharing. All of that stuff goes a long way to helping out the podcast. If you'd like any additional info, you can go to sequencebreakpodcast.com. All of our past episodes, everything's on there. You'll find everything there. If you'd like to watch live, follow the Sequence Break Twitter. That is Sequence Break PC, and you can join in, ask some questions, watch the whole thing live. It does happen. It's not really a set time, but I do post when I go live. Everything else, if you have any questions or anything like that, podcast@sequencebreakpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next one.